Very happy to welcome Mike Pereira, of course, Vice President officiating in the National Football League for a long time, a ref at many levels, and as a analyst on network TV for NFL games as well. And he's here to talk about a very a cool thing. It's a new foundation called Battlefields to Ballfields. It's a foundation to provide officiating training and placement for returning servicemen and servicewomen. And Mike, I'll just start with that because, yes, service women, we now no longer in an all-male field in the pros, is it?
No, it's not at all. I mean, you have the National Basketball Association that has a female official. You have the National Football League that also has one in Sarah Thomas. And I do know that the Umpire Development Program has two females in that program, too. So, yes, they're entering the field, which I think is great. And our foundation, actually, here in the Sacramento area, has gotten our first female application, which really excites me.
Now, it's so hard to be an official of any sport. Both teams aren't going to like you. The crowd's going to be all over you. But in the NFL, they change the rules every year, and there's so many. You have the competition committee. Sometimes it's a rule, and then it goes away, and then it comes back again. How hard do you have to make sure that you're up on everything?
You know, I have to study just like I'm going to step out on the field. You know, I look at videos, certainly look at all the rule changes, and sometimes, you know, the rule changes are rather simple and does not take much studying. But what the committee does is they'll make a point of emphasis out of an existing rule. And that really creates a different criteria or a different philosophy in making the calls, like they did, you know, in 2004 when they said that, you know, receivers were being contacted too much downfield. And so they took the existing illegal contact rule and defensive holding call and said, we want to emphasize this, any contact, any grab. So the number of penalties that were called in, for example, illegal contact went from like 49 to 153. So there's where you have to do a lot of focus, is seeing how the game is going to be officiated different from year to year. And then it makes it that's being played different, too, because now as a defender, you can't do some of the things that you were doing. So it's a constant study for me.
There's no doubt that it's more of a pass happy league. But Mike, I've always had a problem with, you know, the letter of law instead of the spirit of the law. And obviously pass interference was invented so that when the ball was in the air, you didn't, attack the receiver. But now it seems if a corner who's trying to keep up with the receiver, if he just accidentally grazes the guy's shoulder pads and maybe they accidentally bump into each other, it seems like they get called. And so it's more of the letter of the law than the spirit of the law. As an officiating head of a crew, how do you make sure that people aren't too overzealous with the yellow flag?
Well, what you have to make sure that you do is get the officials to do what the competition committee wants them to do. And that, to me, in the passing game, that you know, they wanted to make that a point of emphasis, and it's really stayed true to this day. You know, they want the officials to call things even though it doesn't have an effect on the play. And that was my issue back in 2004, and it remains my issue today. You know, you get these defensive holding calls against corners that don't even take a step away from a receiver yet. The committee says if you see any kind of a jersey stretch or grab, call it. And that's to me, went away from what officiating has always been, which is advantage, disadvantage. Safety, whole nother issue. If it's a safety thing, you call what you see and everything that you see. But it always was in offensive holding or illegal contact or defensive holding, advantage, disadvantage. And if it doesn't create an advantage, then it shouldn't be called. But that's not the way the committee has looked at it, and it has certainly been an emphasis, same way with some of the celebration penalties. You know, anything that was even slight last year drew the penalty flag and the ire of everybody, really kind of including me, because it went beyond what really was the intent of the rule. But at least in the celebration area, I do think they're backing off on that a little bit. They started to at the end of last season, and I think officially they will back off a little bit this year too, because some of those penalties were just, you know, over the top and didn't need to be called.
Yeah, you had one snow angel that was a flag. You had another snow angel that wasn't a flag. Rick Tittle with Mike Pereira, NFL officiating guru. We're talking about Battlefields to Ballfields Foundation, a little bit more about that. But, Mike, the calls for full-time referees, I think it wouldn't hurt. But I know that refs have their Monday through Friday job and then fly in and they do a lot of work. What do you think about full-time NFL refs?
I really think it would be disastrous. Now, with that being said, I do believe that if you, as a official, make a commitment to be a referee, to wear the white hat, and you take on all that responsibility, then I do think you need to be full-time. And I think we'll see a step in that direction this year because the league has been negotiating with the officials' union to try to go in that direction. So I think we'll see that. But if you tried to make all 130 of them full-time, you know, a couple of things. You know, what would they do? I mean, there's not, you can watch so much film. They watch so much film as it is. You can work out so much. They work out as it is. You can give them rules tests. They already get those. Not a lot that you can do. But to me, the disastrous aspect of it is, I don't care what the league pays for them. We hired really successful people in their occupations. And there was a method behind that madness because we felt like that people that learn to deal with success or failure in their personal business, you know, learned, and that was a good application to correct calls, missed calls. And so we like that. But more importantly, you're going to lose, I think, 30 to 40% of your staff because they won't become full-time because they've invested so much in their own business, and there's going to be no 10-year guarantee that they could remain employed as an official. So if you lose 30 to 40% of your staff, if you lose 40 to 50 officials, or maybe a little bit more, it would be devastating to the league for a long time, and there are not. And although they've got a few officials in their development program, there are not 30, 40 officials ready to step on the field in the National Football League. So, to me, it would really be a bad decision.
Very interesting. Just as an aside, my dad graduated from Santa Clara, and I grew up going to all those camps. I ended up playing football for St. Mary's. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Sorry. That's not good.
Yeah,
that's
I'm so sorry. But
I knew I liked your dad.
But Mike, you know, I think about Mike Carey, who was also NFL ref. Were you guys there at the same time? Aren't you about the same age?
Yeah, he was a year older than I am. I know he looks 20 years younger than me, but he was a year older, a running back for the Broncos, and then interestingly enough, my 2 years on the field in the league in the NFL before they took me into the office, both. I was a side judge on Mike Carey's crew. So, we knew each other at Santa Clara and then spent 2 years on the field together in the NFL.
I don't know if anyone's ever asked you this, Mike, but what's all the places that you know, from the Big West to the WAC to the NFL, what's the worst call you made that you took home and you just felt terrible about that cost maybe a team a game that didn't deserve it?
Well, it didn't cost him the game, but we always talk as an official. If you were to ask me that same question, but flip it and say, what was the best call you made? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But you ask me the worst call, I'll take it to my grave because you just don't let those go. And mine was in a playoff game in the NFL, my first and only playoff game. The Broncos were playing the Chiefs at Arrowhead in a division championship game. And I will admit, you know, that's a new level when you go into the playoffs, a new level of pressure on the official. And early in the first quarter, Denver ran the most simple out and up, you know, and the defender knocked the player off his route, out of bounds, came back in, pass was overthrown, quarterback was in the pocket when the contact, it was the easiest illegal contact call that you could ever have to make. And I choked. I swallowed the olive. I mean, I froze, and I'll never forget that feeling after the play was over. How I just didn't step up and do my job, and that's bothered me and will always bother me. And then, of course, it got worse because it hurt the Broncos, and you know, maybe I'd have been lucky and been on Kansas City sideline when I did that, but no, I was on the Denver sideline. So Mike Shanahan, he gave me just about everything he had, and I had to stand there and take it all because I knew he was right. And that it does still bother me.
Well, very candid answer. Mike Pereira is with us. Remember to check out Battlefields to Ballfields, helping veterans on their way home, training and placement, providing officiating. And you can go on the World Wide Web, battlefields2ballfields.org. Hey, Mike, great stuff. Thanks for coming on. And don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you on again real soon.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.